are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Turn the other cheek. They say, forgive them. Stay quiet. Speak up. Often the Spirit prompts us in ways that go against our instincts and sometimes even against what might seem right, okay? So how do you know when a hard choice is God's way and not just passivity or overreaction? How can you tell that this is the Spirit, this is not the flesh? How can you tell what it is that the Spirit wants you to do and how do you go in that right direction? And we've got our pastor, Genesis Mitepela, joining us on the line to guide us through that conversation and helping us understand exactly how we can recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Morning, Sister Wonyi. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for making time to speak with us this morning. It's a difficult subject. I mean, it's difficult to be able to identify the voice of the Spirit when we have our own internal voice. Now, why is it that spiritual promptings often go against our natural inclinations?
Yeah, it's really difficult to explain, but I think the Bible will help us in that. It's not easy, you know, because God's ways are not our ways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our minds are carnal. Mm-hmm. And what they think are things of earth or things of the world. And many times we spend much time on things that are surrounding us. Yet when it comes now to spiritual promptings, it becomes so difficult to tell whether you are listening to something that is worth listening to, or it is God who is speaking. It is not easy. It is difficult, Sister Swanee. Very difficult. Yes. But one thing that you need to understand, like what Isaiah tells in Isaiah 55, you know, verse 8 and 9, it's something that you can just read. It says, are not your thoughts. Yeah. That's God saying these words. Neither are your ways my ways, say the Lord. So you cannot expect spiritual promptings to align with your thoughts.
Yeah.
Then they are not. They are not.
Sure. So
that's one thing that is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first thing is just to recognize that our thoughts and God's thoughts, two different things.
Yeah, and when you look at how they are separated or maybe differentiated from God's word, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways.
Yeah.
Higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So we need to understand this. And we need to acknowledge, Sister Swanee, that it's difficult.
Yes.
It is difficult. We need to acknowledge that.
So you don't
even blame people who do not understand. Yes. My sister.
So when we look at stories like, you know, the Elijahs and the Moseses and all these people in the Bible, when we look at them, it seems like they just knew what God wanted and they just went with it. It seemed like it was easier for them than it is for us. Is that a fair assessment? Is that a misunderstanding on our part to assume that maybe for the guys in the Bible, it was just second nature for them to just do what God says, especially because some of them could clearly hear his voice and they would just do what he said because they knew that this was God. Was it easier for them than it is for us?
I wouldn't say it was easier for them, but they had to put themselves into a position of making it easier for them.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you know, it's like you give me a poem, Auntie Swanee, and you want me to recite that poem. I won't be able to recite it right now at the moment you are giving to me.
Okay.
I'll take time, you know, trying to memorize, mastering it until it's in me. I don't need a paper anymore to recite it before people.
Right.
That's exactly what those biblical personalities you're talking about became. So you need to become, you need to change your existence. Just imagine when Abraham is taught just to the spirit prompting came to Abraham and say, Abraham, just go.
Yeah.
Where? To the place I'll show you. That's not easy. That's not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we need to soak ourselves into a point of understanding what the voice of the Lord sounds like.
Yeah, for sure.
Otherwise, it will be difficult for the rest of our lives to discern God from something else.
And speaking about that discernment, then, you know, sometimes we want to avoid a confrontation. We want to avoid a difficult conversation or just an awkward engagement. So we'd rather just avoid it and act like nothing has happened, which is more of avoidance, right? Or sometimes in our attempt to confront it, we might overreact. How can we distinguish between a spirit-led response and emotional avoidance or overreaction? How do we know that the spirit is saying, just let this one go, just be quiet, don't worry, I know that the other person is wrong, but just keep quiet, let them have their way? How do I know that that's the spirit and it's not just me who's afraid of confrontation? Or if the spirit is saying, no, you need to confront this issue, you need to speak up in this situation, or is it my ego saying, you can't talk to me like that? How do we tell the difference?
Okay, thank you. I think the difference comes out clearly from the book of Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, chapter 13, where it talks about love. You know, it's like the spirit led has to be rooted in love, kindness, and compassion. And you need to understand, especially when it is spirit led, they have to align with biblical principles, my sister. It's not just a matter of saying yes always. Even a no can be a spirit led reaction. But it has to align with the biblical principles.
Right.
Yeah. And more so, when you talk of avoidance, it is emotional driven. That's why you see when you say it's spirit led, you need to be to sacrifice your personal desires. When it's spirit led, you need to sacrifice your personal interests. But when it is emotional, when it is something that if it is avoidance, it is self centered. It is. You need not to say, no, I don't need to argue on this one just because I don't want to argue. That's self-centeredness.
Okay.
But if it is to help somebody and if it is for the benefit of the other part, then it is spirit-led.
Okay.
Yes, it is spirit-led. Rooted in love, and you need to consider other people's needs and the desires, and also need to understand. Like, for instance, when you look at issues of reaction and avoidance, you need to do to others what you need others to do for you or to you.
Sure.
Yeah. Once you just settle in that mode, then you're home and dry to be led by the spirit and to know that whatever I'm doing, it's a spirit-led.
Beautiful. And then what role would you say humility plays in recognizing and following difficult promptings?
Yeah, I humility plays a very pivotal role actually in the issues of following the spiritual promptings. Because the first thing that I just want us to understand is that when you're humble enough to listen, you'll be able to be guided. And humility will enable you to follow God's guidance, or you'll be open to God's guidance even when it's challenging or uncomfortable. That's what humility does. And it also allows you or allows one to surrender their own desires, like we said earlier on. And in so doing, you will recognize your limitations.
Right.
That's what humility does. Yeah, it will be, you know, humility, the problem of not being humble or not having humility, it will never give you a chance of acknowledging your limitations. You come to a point of knowing everything. And by knowing everything, you will do what we call impulsive decision making.
Right.
Because you know everything, which is so emotional. So humility allows us actually to hear God speaking to us because we are humble. Yeah. So I think it also removes from us self-dependence. And put us on depending on God.
Right.
That's humility. Yeah, that's my thinking.
All right. And can obeying a spiritual prompting cost you? And is it worth it? I'm curious about this because the first person I think about is Abraham. And it seems like, you know, following God's lead led him to a lot of wealth. It led him to success, you know. So does it cost
you?
Or is it just benefits only?
Yeah, I want to be open on this one and frank, my sister. It comes with a cost. Or it comes with costs.
Okay.
Let me put it in plural. It right. comes with costs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. On the witness part, may I be quick to say, I think it depends on individuals' perspectives.
Okay.
Yeah. But as for me, I would say it is worth. It is, yeah, you know, when you look at Abraham, when he's moving from, you know, like the spiritual prompting comes, move from this place, go to that place. Maybe that one is a bit lighter. Mm-hmm. Let's go to who is this one? Still is Abraham, yes, to sacrificing his son. God says, take your son and kill him for me. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not arguing. That humility now comes in.
Yeah.
But it's coming with a cost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's coming. Now you know really that God wants my child to die. What should I do? I'm listening to this spiritual prompting. I have to go and kill my son. Mm. But listen to what happens when he's there. And the witness of it is now, he is called the friend of God.
Mm.
And what else do you want?
Wow.
You cannot talk of Jesus' genealogy without mentioning Abraham.
Hey, beautiful.
And you know, and actually you cannot talk of faith without mentioning Abraham. And look at the life that he lived. This is what exactly, that's how worth it is actually to listen to these spiritual promptings. And in as much as it comes with a cost, let us know. May I just say something, especially in our families, with regards to our families, when it comes to spiritual promptings, when you start arguing, let's say you've just started a quarrel in your home, and while you are quarreling, this spiritual prompting just comes and say, no, just be quiet. Then you look at it and say, if I remain quiet on this one, then this one is going to take advantage of me.
Yeah, yeah.
But the taking advantage of is the cost that comes with obedience to spiritual promptings.
Ay.
And what comes later after the cost is a benefit. Because you have not lost a friend. You keep quiet, like the spiritual prompting has just said to you, you keep quiet. And then after some few hours, you see that you still have that friend in your house.
Right.
Yeah, so it comes with costs, but it's worth it.
No, I think on one level, I think we know it, but hey, putting it into practice, that's the tricky part.
that's difficult now. That's difficult. Because we are human.
Yeah,
that you know, I was reading in another extra canonical resource, which was talking about Enoch, saying you know the reason it was saying the reason why Enoch was said to have walked with God for 300 years, Enoch had to remove himself from the community and put himself in a solace, you know, in a place where he is just by himself.
Yeah,
and then the only thing that he was doing was talking to God. When you get to such a point, then you know you'll be able to understand God's voice.
Right.
Say, okay, this is God speaking.
Yeah,
because you have put yourself in that mode.
You've been alone.
So it's not easy, my sister, especially living in these noisy communities and noisy world whereby we are surrounded by social media and we are always putting the kiki emojis. It's not easy.
It's not. I can imagine, because like you hear the Spirit saying, okay, especially in this specific scenario that you're citing here, where you're in the middle of a heated argument with somebody and the Holy Spirit says, shh, and you're like, no, wait. I will keep quiet. I just have one more point that I need to make. It's just
right.
One more thing. Or you're thinking,
right.
I must keep quiet. Did you just hear what this person said to me? And I must keep quiet now. Really? Yeah, that's not an easy
one. And you're justified for that, Sister Smoni.
Sure.
You're just, you said, you know, you couldn't, especially when you're a man. Maybe I have to speak to my men,
yeah.
Men fellows.
Yeah.
When you're a man, you know, you think that you have been challenged, your men would do. And you are, and you have biblical quotations actually to quote when you are defending yourself. But the spirit is just saying, shh.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, very difficult. Very difficult.
How can community or council help to affirm tough decisions prompted by the Spirit? If I come to, like, is there any role for me to maybe go to my spiritual advisor or spiritual leader, or it's just someone that I can trust who can confirm or affirm tough decisions prompted by the Spirit?
Yeah, Sister Smoni, this is where I appreciate Ubuntu. I am because we are.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I cannot be without you. So you find that community or council will play a very important role in affirming whatever spiritual promptings are coming into your life.
Yeah.
How do they do that? You know, Solomon once said that there is wisdom in gray hair. And sometimes you need some experienced people to affirm what you're calling spiritual prompting.
Right.
That's what community does. And also, you have people surrounding you, or your pastor, or your elder, or your friend, you know, who will actually assist you in saying, no, just a moment. Let me also do a research so that I may assist you with biblical principles to assist you in doing what you want to do now. So you find that community plays a very big important, even counsel. You need counseling, especially. Don't just jump into making a decision. And may I say this? If you just jump into making a decision from a spiritual prompting without seeking for counsel or community guidance, you are likely to fall in an abyss, a pit that is bottomless.
Hey.
Yeah. And also, community also will help you to be accountable. It will assist you in accountability. They will tell you, you do this, it ends up to this end.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do this, if it is a spiritual prompting, they will tell you that, yeah, you are very right in doing so, but do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are experienced in that.
Yeah.
They are experienced. Just imagine of a matric student who's just saying, you know, I'm hearing God saying I must go to a seminar and do theology.
Mm.
You know, that young man needs counsel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Upon that spiritual prompting,
yeah.
Because he doesn't know what exactly he's listening to.
Mm.
You are listening to a spiritual prompting that is saying, go and do God's work. But do you know what God's work is and what it costs you?
Mm.
Then that's where community comes in. You know, I remember when I was young, I started my ministry when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad came to me and said, young man, I think it's too early for you to join ministry right now. I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why is this old man saying this?
Yeah.
But now I understand it. So, that's why my dad said, you are too young to join.
Okay.
Just wait a moment.
Okay.
So spiritual promptings, they are there. And they always come. And God wants us to listen to them obediently. But you need guidance from the community and from counsel.
And how do you know who to trust, whose counsel you can trust?
Right. I think now this one is a bit tricky, but all we can say is that for as long as every counsel is aligning with the biblical principles, then I am ready to trust.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to test also. Okay. And also, if someone should not come with opinions.
Yes, okay.
Because everybody has his own opinions.
Exactly.
Somebody must come with the biblical facts and give me good examples. You know, when you're talking about the people from the Bible, what they went through.
Mm.
When someone comes to me and says, you know what, Abraham was called, and he went, you also just need to go without asking questions. You know, you are giving me a very good example. That, hey, man, but it's difficult, I cannot go. Then they say, if you don't go, then God will take somebody to go.
Hey.
Because remember, Esther was said, was told to do the same thing.
Mm.
And she was told, Esther, it's either you do it or God will raise someone else to do it. So you are giving me examples that are biblical.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be able to trust you. But if you come to me and bring up some theories from other writers out there and try to bring me some opinions, then it doesn't work.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
It doesn't work. Yeah. Doesn't work.
I'm thinking about Abraham, though. I'm thinking about Abraham getting this prompting to go and sacrifice his son. There, he should have consulted someone.
He should have looked. But you know what? But you know what now? Abraham, God will not take you to the heights that you are not used to.
Sure.
Yeah. God will not take you to the heights that you are not used to. God will take you somewhere where it equates your level. For instance, look at where Abraham is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Abraham trusts God so much that he knows that when God says something, I just have to do without asking.
I hear you.
Because of the experience that I have with God.
Mm.
In other words, it is faith now that is leading Abraham in doing that. Faith that is coming from experience and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with me, I have not experienced anything in life.
Right.
I need guidance from those who have experienced it.
I get you.
So Abraham had no reason to ask, to consult on God calling to kill.
Yeah.
because The answer would be no. Man, the moment you kill, God is going to punish you. That's not God saying that.
Exactly.
You see now, yeah. So that's the thing.
Sure.
That's the thing. So that's faith. That's faith. And I want to say, the more we learn about this God, the more we become better in understanding Him, and the more the challenging promptings come. Think of Job. The more you go, I mean, let me say, the higher you go, the more difficult promptings are coming. This is just plain as it is. God will not test me the way you test Abraham. I'm not at that level yet. I will not kill my son.
Yeah,
that's true.
Beautiful.
That's true.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. We'll be concluding this conversation tomorrow, same time, same place. Thank you for the lessons that you've shared this morning. I think they're challenging lessons, but definitely something for us to all consider. God bless you.
Thank you, Sister Swangi. God bless you, too.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.